Drupal Voices is short daily podcast interviews with people doing work in the Drupal community. Brought to you by the 2009 Do It With Drupal Seminar. This year's event takes place December 9th, 10th, and 11th in New Orleans, Louisiana. Come get practical advice and learn the site-building strategies of Drupal's top developers, and hear from experts in emerging technologies and the social web. For more information and registration rates, visit doitwithdrupal.com.
I'm David Strauss. I'm one of the co-founders of 4Kitchens, and I manage the Pressflow project, which is an integrated performance and scalability distribution of Drupal core.
Okay, so what's different? What did you guys do to Pressflow?
Well, a lot of these features are already in Drupal 7, but what we're doing with Pressflow 5 and 6 is we've backported many of the features or created equivalent features that are available for sites that are based on Drupal 5 and Drupal 6 to give them reverse proxy cache support, database replication support, better queries, better optimizations for MySQL, better optimizations for PHP 5.2, where sites can continue to use mature modules and mature versions of Drupal core, but still get the latest in performance and scalability features that are typically for Drupal only available within a year or two in terms of viable, stable usage.
And so talk about, like, what do people do? Where do they go and download? And then what happens after that?
For Pressflow, we have a website at pressflow.org. And when you go there, it'll take you to part of the 4Kitchens site currently, although we're moving most of the Pressflow project to Launchpad, where you can download a tarball or a zip file of Pressflow core. And upgrading to that is exactly the same process as upgrading to a minor release of Drupal core, where if you're on Drupal 6.13, you can download Pressflow, you can drop it in. There might be schema updates, but only because Drupal, the upstream Drupal version, might have had schema updates. So it's generally a very easy migration. You can even move back to Drupal from Pressflow as long as you're not using any of the Pressflow-specific features.
So it sounds like this is just a regular stock Drupal rather than any installation profile or any specific modules, or what else? Maybe you could talk a little bit more about what it is.
It's a combination of all the changes to core that are necessary for performance and scalability. Before Pressflow, most of the sites would take standard Drupal core, maintain their own patch set, apply them, either have to maintain them, or more likely fall behind where they were not upgrading to the latest security and bug fix releases of Drupal. So what we've done is we've worked with a lot of these clients, compile the list of all these performance and scalability changes they need, many of which are maintained by us in the first place, and compile them all into one standard distribution that's usable by these sites that have demanding requirements. And that way, instead of maintaining a bunch of patches and kind of a hacked up core that they don't know how to maintain, we have one organization that's maintaining a great derivative of Drupal core that is able to integrate all these changes in a way that's just usable without a lot of overhead.
So maybe talk a little bit more about, like, the features in terms of, like, master-slave replication, or what else can you do with this version of Drupal?
Some of the key features in there are, with the master-slave replication, Pressflow has APIs to be able to access the replicated database servers for MySQL. Theoretically, you could also use it with something like Sloney for Postgres as well, although there are some compatibility issues there. But what it does is it means your data set gets replicated out to a horizontal array of MySQL servers that allows you to distribute the read load for your application, both for authenticated and anonymous users, out to any number of database servers. And this is basically one of the directions that Wikipedia scales, and most large PHP MySQL apps are scaling, because it's not the write load to the database that typically brings down large Drupal sites. It's the fact that they're running expensive, slow queries, and if you concentrate those all on a single server like Drupal 6 requires, you have a lot of contention for resources, and the only way you can grow is by scaling that system vertically, which is extraordinarily expensive.
And so I understand, like, even the Drupal.org site has some of these sort of backported master-slave, or maybe you could talk about, you've done some work with the infrastructure of Drupal.org, like, what type of stuff they have running there.
Drupal.org has more in common with Pressflow than it does with standard Drupal core. It's built from the same repository, built from the same patches, the same code base in general as Pressflow. What the basic procedure when a Drupal release gets updated for, say, Drupal 6 or Drupal 5, is we pull it into our system that manages Pressflow. We reapply the updates and changes that we've done to create, that differentiate Pressflow from Drupal. And then we create a derived so-called patched version of Drupal And the same system that creates the new release of Pressflow creates the new release that goes on Drupal.org. And I'm the person who actually takes that release and loads it into Drupal.org after we do a security update.
Okay, and so I guess, like, what's the, it seems like kind of a scary thing to be able to update Drupal.org. Like, what type of testing do you do before you sort of send this stuff live?
Well, in general, there's very little contention between the updates that are happening to Drupal core for security and bug fixes and the kind of changes we're maintaining in Pressflow. In the whole history of Pressflow with pulling over updates from Drupal, we might have only had one conflict and then changes. And that was because something had been changed in name from Drupal to Pressflow, and that line of code also changed upstream in Drupal. So in general, we've never encountered a new issue because we've done a Drupal update. But nevertheless, what we do is we pull in that update, we do the reintegration of changes, we load it into one of our Pressflow test instances, and we're poking around on that instance the same way that someone would before releasing a version of Drupal core.
And so maybe you could talk about some of the metrics that if someone's using Drupal, like what type of red flag should be flying up that they should switch over from regular Drupal over to something like Pressflow.
One of the biggest advantages right now of Pressflow is the support for reverse proxy cache servers that is similar to the support in Drupal 7. So if you have a project that is based on Drupal 5 or 6 and you have a large amount of anonymous traffic or you have large spikes in anonymous traffic, say you get the dig effect or the slash dot effect or any of these other things where you instantly have a large influx of traffic, Pressflow can allow you to support a reverse proxy or CDN layer in a vastly superior way, where that load is generally isolated from your PHP, Apache, MySQL system. So that's in use pretty broadly. Other sites that want to switch to Pressflow are ones that they're seeing large amounts of load on their database server from read queries, if they're seeing the queries that are taking a long time. Sometimes with a lot of data and a lot of users, these queries can take 60, 90, 120 seconds to execute. And they're taking a finite number of execution slots on the MySQL server based on the connection limit. So at some point, the system just keels over. And without fundamentally changing the architecture of the queries and the site, the easiest way to scale is to install something like Pressflow, start replicating out, and then distributing those queries to any number of MySQL servers.
And so maybe you could talk about who's behind Pressflow. It's you at Four Kitchens. Who else is working on this, and what's sort of your model for why you're doing it?
Pressflow is what we're using for the neweconomist.com project. It's being used as the standard distribution for Drupal-based sites for most of NBC's projects. It's used as the standard distribution for Drupal-based projects at Chapter 3 and at WorkHabit and at Four Kitchens. And much of the development and consulting around Pressflow is done by the Drupal infrastructure team, TagOne Consulting, and Four Kitchens.
Okay, so I guess the other question is, like, what is the model around Pressflow? It's just that you're doing services, so you, if people are using this large of a site, then they would have to pay for this, or is it free? Or maybe talk a little about what the business model is.
Pressflow is currently under the exact same series of licenses as Drupal, where it's GPL version 2 or later. So anyone is able to download Pressflow just as easily as the other. It's just as free to use. It's just as free to implement. Typically, our model around it right now is sites that need to use Pressflow are ones that have the most demanding requirements for scalability and performance. And installing Pressflow is not a magic bullet to getting scalability and performance. It primarily provides a foundation for integrating with services like CDNs, reverse proxy caches, database replication, and other systems where they're complicated enough that we provide consulting services around implementing those systems where a site needs to scale. They might have installed Pressflow already, and then they contact an organization like TagOne Consulting or Four Kitchens, and we provide services around getting their infrastructure configured in the best way, both physically and software-wise, to support the advanced features in the system.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Sure.